welcome to the very first recorded conversation of the Solo Dad Podcast. After giving it a listen a few times, we decided we wanted to let our tribe of allies, our friends, our families, and everyone supporting us along this journey to hear the first conversation. The topic was dating, and it goes a little sideways. Part of the reason is we learned a valuable lesson. When you're a solo parent having a conversation late at night, it may not be the best idea to leave the bottle on the recording desk. Please keep that in mind as you listen. Also, it's a great way to see where the conversation has been going and let you know where we started. Another reason I wanted to do a pre-intro to the show is to let everyone know that there are 14 more conversations being edited. Lots of solo dads had conversations, lots more information coming, lots of topics covered. You can follow us on Instagram at Solo Dad Podcast. If you want to communicate with us, please give us an email at solodad@gmail.com. Please leave a review where you listen to the podcast. It helps us be found for those other solo dads looking for the podcast, so we greatly appreciate that. Lastly, I want to have a huge thank you to everyone who's been listening. We surpassed over 500 downloads in just 3 episodes. That means a lot to us and the solo dads who have been doing the conversations. So thank you so very much. So as always, thank you for listening. Enjoy the chaos. And here is the first solo dad conversation. Well, so on the dating note, let's just go ahead and like, what's been happening?
Oh man. So it feels the dating note. I mean, whole history of dating or just recent dating? That's where I'm. So the history of dating. I was married for 17 years, right? With Gwen for 19. Dating apps didn't exist and we were in college. Whole different ballgame. Like it's just, you're there, you're partying, you're hanging out, whatever.
She liked Pearl Jam. I like Pearl Jam.
Yeah, we did. Like, you're into that too? Here's a cassette. Let's listen into it together. I'll make you a mixtape. It'll be great.
You're even burning CDs.
So trying to dive into dating apps was just beyond daunting. Like, it was overwhelming, didn't know where to go, how to set it up, what people were looking for. You go online and look, and it was just like, well, I'm looking for this. And like, well, try these 5 dating apps. I'm like, no, don't do those 5. Try these 3 dating apps. And so you try, like, I tried putting together a profile and like, do you put information in there about the kids or history or just you, or like, what are you trying to do? Like, it's too much. And then people are just like swiping and texting and swiping.
What I loved about the profile building was like, when it came down to picking out pictures, it's like, oh, you know, oh, okay, let me find some good pictures of, oh, nope, that's when we were in Ireland and she's to the left. No, that's not going to work. Oh man, I look good in that one. Oh, that's our wedding photo. Like, I realized, I'm like, I have 0 selfies of myself doing anything beyond selfieing. Like, there's no one's taking pictures of me for the past 3.5 years doing anything cool or sexy.
Especially if you're the one taking the photos. Like, I was looking back through, it's like, I was always the one taking the photos. And so there was nothing with me except the random one-off stupid cheese shot in the background. And it's the same thing. It's like, I'm going to have to purposely create selfies for this. And it was like, it was just awkward. It was horrible. And I'm standing there, my phone, arm's length, going like, do I do this? Do I not do this? Like, do I put my dog in it? Or, but it was like, everything was, cause it was like you said, like everything that's in there is you with, your previous spouse, like, and doing things in life. And you don't, at people our age, we don't take selfies of ourselves running around.
Well, because no one wants to see them.
No. And I don't want to see it. Like, I don't want to go back later and go, oh yeah, that was me having dinner. Isn't that sexy? So nice.
By myself, with mac and cheese spread over my face because my kid flung it at me 8 minutes before. Like,
because life is so pretty.
Right.
And so
setting up the profile, the other thing is also
in the situation of being widowed is how much information you put on there, because it's truth, and you can't, I mean, I guess people do hide it and lie, but I shouldn't say lie, but people hide it or lie or build a false profile, like leaving their kids out sometimes. Like, I've been on a date before where someone's like, oh, and by the way, I have two kids. That's a weird fact to leave out. You know, that, you know, at some point I'm going to find they will show up. Like, it's not like, oh, I've killed all my house plants. It's a whole different scenario. Right. So it's also like, you know, and I get the argument of like, but I want them to meet me and get to know me. Well, part of who you are, at least them. My opinion is, you're widowed or widower. I got to figure out which one we are.
Yeah.
But so building it, what did you put in the profile? Generally speaking?
So I put in, I have to say when I first started, it was more snarky than, later profiles. Like it was very like very upfront. I was like, yeah, I'm a widow. I've got three kids, yada, yada. Like, I'm a train wreck. Call me. Kind of thing. So that was like round one. That didn't work out so well. So after some fine tuning with some friends, I switched it up and did a little bit more of a lighter note. Generally, it was recently widowed. With three little kids. So they knew that it's like scheduling. Cause I wanted to like, I'm not going to be able to be there for them.
Right.
Constantly. Like
right.
My life is pretty chaotic. I've got three littles, command a lot of time. I don't have a lot of freedom. Like you're maybe once a week.
It's unfortunate. You can't kennel kids under the age of six. I you might be able to do it after 12. I don't know the laws, but
actually
like, it would make it so much easier.
Two, you can totally kennel. I mean, you just throw them in there with some treats and they were great. Like they get really fussy at that 6 to 7 range.
Once they can figure out how to undo the latch. Exactly. Then you're like, well now.
And then they're running around the house.
Well, yeah. At least they don't go full Shawshank Redemption to break out. You don't want any kid crawling through the sewer pipes to get out. I mean, that's ridiculous really.
Yeah. And then your neighbors start talking and like, it's a bad scene all the way around.
So what I found when I should go and pull them back up, but I think I kind of snarky or mine was like, just full throttle. Here's my situation. And the problem with mine was also being a co-parent to my oldest child. It was like, I have a 3-year-old and I'm widowed. Oh, and by the way, I also have a 17-year-old. And I can't imagine reading that going like the mat. Well, as I tell people, I'm like, well, obviously someone called me pretty twice in my life. And that's all it really took, really, to be honest. Right. It's just kind of like it took 14 years between each time and you know, whatever, it was worth it. But what's right. But so it's like, how do you go into that and how, like, you know, and I'm a co-parent and I'm also a widow. I'm a solo parent. And like how to explain that kind of to explain the context around, like, I'm not going to be able to go to dinner every Friday night. Like it's just not logistically feasible.
Yeah.
Right. And I have other obligations and like, you know, if the oldest one has a cross country meet I want to be at or something like that, it's like, well, that's going to take precedent for a while. And it's this interesting balancing act, right? Of trying to be interested, but at the same time, like we have houses and families to run and manage while dating at the same time. So yeah, it's, and as much as I respect a professional single woman in a city, sometimes their empathy might be lacking a little.
I think one actually told me one time, you seem a little apathetic about this. I'm like, no, I'm just busy. Like, I don't have the ability to text you constantly. Like, if I text you, I'm not folding laundry. If I text you, I'm not doing the dishes. Like, there's things that need to happen at my house that I can't be at your beck and call. Like after I said hello. I mean, obviously, you're in a different realm that I'm ready for.
Right.
Or can be.
Right. Well, and that's, you know, and I think too, that's one of the things to try to figure out the pace. So when I met Marcy on a dating app, it was, you know, I was a co-parent every other weekend. And so it worked out. It was like, well, here's the schedule and we can figure this out. And now you throw the new wrinkle in where there is no aerial coverage, you know, babysitters and et cetera, can end up pandemic layering and all that. But like, you have to figure that stuff out. And another widow was saying one time, like, you know, to get real technical with a member we've talked about before, where it's like the opportunity of time cost for me to go on a date, right? Yeah. The logistic, you know, losing out on time with the kiddos, getting a babysitter, coming home late on a Thursday or whatever, you know, not feeling great the next day if you had too much fun or whatever. You're like, I don't know if it's worth it. And it's a horrible thing to say, but you're like, I need someone to put more skin in the game than I have from the get-go. It's like, I need you to have more money invested in this before I even get off the couch.
It's where I meet you. It's like, trust me, I'm going to be so worth it.
once you dump about 50 to 60K in me, I am totally, totally worth it. But until then, I'm not getting off my couch.
Yeah.
So what, like on the dating thing, what did you have any great, like, filtering questions, or did you have any great kind of like, oh, this is even worth meeting? Or did you just blitzkrieg them?
Yeah, there should be a cliff notes, or like if for people our age remember what cliff notes are for like dating and like what not to do and what's right. Like an idiot's guide kind of thing.
Right.
And like first mistake was not actually having a phone call. Or not having a video call. Like it was just straight texting, like, oh yeah, sure, let's go grab some dinner and make a time commitment versus let's have a coffee after I talk to you on the phone to see if we can actually have a conversation.
Right.
Or video to see if you're actually, I know this sounds terrible, but like
who
you say you are.
Yep.
Because like it is like, and it's always blown my mind with the online dating. Why would you falsify a profile? Because the point is to see and meet you eventually. So you're gonna know and you're gonna find out.
So dating, like, and this is a leading question obviously, but like, where are you at now and what worked? What actually worked?
Well, I had one that could have potential online, but for multitude of reasons didn't.
Yep.
But I'll say the most successful was actually a friend running across someone else and say, hey, I've known Ben for a while. I've met you. Like, you seem like somebody Ben could enjoy time with or whatever. And like,
you seem like someone has low standards. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Like you are very accepting and very patient and low standards.
If it goes poorly, we're okay not being with friends with Ben anymore. So win-win.
So like he's super easy to replace, don't you worry.
We've been looking to cut him from the friend circle for a while. So if you could not make it, well, like when I ask my friends, they're like, yeah, we like our female friends. So no.
What about, so like the best would be like if they look over their partner and go, hey, what about Sarah? And she's like, no, I don't know. Not Sarah. Like, why? You know,
not in front of the kid.
Can we talk about this later, honey?
Great. So I think that I also would be interested. Like, it's also interesting. Like, I can speak for myself real quick, like where I am with the grief part of it is that like there's some emotional blocking going on, right?
Yeah.
Where it's like, I'm not accessible, and bless the dates I went on. And they would aptly say like, well, you're emotionally unavailable. And I know you and I are like talking like, but I'm here. Like, how more available can I be? I've done everything I can, but they're tapping into that. Like, you're not opening parts, or you're not sharing parts, or you're not, you know, you're not being, I don't want to say not truthful, because I, you know, you try to be as truthful as possible, but I think that's currently at today, that's where I am, where it's like, there's just parts of me that aren't accessible yet because I'm still processing some grief stuff that I need to handle. So it's interesting. If you went back and looked, I'm not saying, you know, you should pick up the phone and call a previous date, but do you think that that's also reflective in?
Cool. Yeah. I actually had someone tell me the exact same thing. One of my really good friends, I've known her for a exceptionally long time. I've known her, since probably 2005.
Okay.
And she actually had a moment, I don't know, probably 9 months after Gwen had passed, saying like, you know, I've always respected, been attracted to you. Like, so she kind of had this like revealing moment saying like, hey, there's potentially could be something here.
Yeah.
And so I was talking to her, but she's like, you know what? There's this like she's like, not quite a darkness, but there's just this, there's something not there. And I don't like, I was like, what do you mean? What do you mean there's something not there? Like, and it's like, and it's the same thing with you. Like I discovered there for a while that I had, and we can like definitely dive into this later because it's really interesting. But like this, I was just numb on the inside. And I didn't quite realize, like mentally, I was like, okay, I'm lonely. Check. I would like to date. Check. That fixes loneliness. Check, check. And like, and you would go on, and some of these women that were actually worth knowing could pick up on this emotional level of, yeah, he's a nice guy and he checks a lot of boxes, but something in the middle that isn't there or not ready yet. And like, and it wasn't apparent to me that that wasn't available until I started really getting into more of the grief, and some of the safety mechanisms my body had kind of put into place because of the grief.
Yep.
And once I was able to start diving into that, like really intensely, is when it kind of started opening up for me. But I didn't even know it was a thing until at one point there was one girl I was dating. For all sakes and purposes, exceptionally wonderful person, very caring, very giving. Like if you were to, I know this, like if it was, everything was black and white, if you could create a checklist of who should be a great partner,
right?
Boom, had it. But there was absolutely nothing from my end. And I was like, maybe there's something wrong with me. Like maybe there is, like, and still like, there's,
Oh, you mean in addition
other than the
to
the obvious, right? Yeah.
In addition to the blatantly obvious.
Yeah. And it was the grief. And that's when I was like, I need to focus on this because I thought I had dealt with this and it's very apparent that I haven't.
Yeah.
And it was interesting going through that.
Well, and it's funny because like, I feel like, on some dates when I kind of tried the first time, won't get into being stood up twice, but that's okay.
You looked really good that date though. Like I was very impressed with the outfit choice.
I'm mostly okay with that. Anyway, it's like you're saying, like you have the checklist and like it's almost like you're reading a script and you're like, well, this is all the right stuff to say. And I'm doing the thing. I'm getting dressed up. We're going to a nice restaurant. We're going to talk. We're going to have a nice night. And I'm interested in you and you're interested in me. But I think again, like you're saying that, although being nice and although on the surface asking the right questions, I don't want to say feigning interest, but like, you know, trying to find out about their day or, you know, what was going on. And all of a sudden you realize, or they pick up, they're like, yeah, but that's, even though it's here on the conversation, it's not the next level of layering of openness around what's really going on. And it's interesting to talk about, like, you know, dealing with the protective mechanisms of, you know, like kind of, that's a weird thing where it's like, you're lonely and you want to fix the loneliness, but you also don't ever want to get hurt again.
Yeah.
Because it hurts so bad because of the loss. And it's interesting because, and this begs the question where, you know, again, probably will never hit the airwaves, but like, how are all these people getting remarried after divorces? Like, oh, Sandra from the bowling alley is here three Saturdays in a row. Might as well. I mean, like, she's making waffles.
Like, I mean, do you even think that through? So no, because like, well, because Jasmine,
I apologize to all Sandras out there. Like, I am sure Sandras are lovely people, but.
Yeah, and we've talked about this too, like the grief compared, like no one wins in the grief battle.
No,
it's impossible. But there's got to be something different mentally and emotionally with a divorce, because you check out, like you're like, you know what, I'm emotionally not here. You realize you're not emotionally there, and like this isn't going to go anywhere, and I would be better removing myself from this situation. Yeah. Whereas with loss, where your spouse dies, you don't have that. Everything's copacetic and cruising, and all of a sudden, boom! Like, oh, I'm alone.
Yeah.
Okay. This is new and unexpected.
This was definitely not part of the plan.
Right. Like, I did not want to be like, we had. There were things. There were things we were supposed to do, mm-hmm. and this wasn't part of it.
Not for a long while.
Yeah.
Right.
And like being solo and doing all this was. Yeah, definitely not part of the plan. And to come to terms with the fact that, like, yes, the loss happened. There's like, that's it. It is. The loss is there. It is part of it.
Yeah.
but it to like mentally and emotionally grasp the combination of not moving on, like retaining who that person is, and yet also emotionally making yourself available for someone else,
mm-hmm.
is an it's a daunting. It's hard. Like it's a really tricky battle. Even if you're a heady person or an emotional person, doesn't matter. Like trying to wrap that around, going, yeah, I can hold on to this, and it's just fine. But I can also open myself up for this, and that's going to be okay too. And then like, and then you throw in kids and you try to talk to them like, so yeah, mommy's, you know, mommy is in your hearts and still part of everything. And this is who your mommy was. And then here's potentially somebody else. Is she your mommy? Well, maybe not. Like this is something we're trying. Could maybe she will be a mommy later, but like how do you like, it's so murky and so, it's confusing, complicated, and tricky.
When you say all of that, the thing that I come back to, and I've said this a couple of times with some other people dealing in their current cancer journeys with their spouses, where, basically it's like, you know, having to make some tough choices in it. And it's like, listen, first off, stand firm with your commitment to who you are and what you want to accomplish in this thing, which kind of translates again to the dating. But I think that if you act from a place of like truly selfless, like love, it may be hard, but it won't be wrong. Right. So like you're saying, like you're holding on to the person from your past while still trying to move forward. And, you know, like saying, well, what do you say to the kids? Well, to say it from a place of love, and it may be hard, but it won't be damaging. Right.
Yeah.
And so I think that it makes it really, really murky and complicated, because also you want to protect your kids, right? They've already had enough loss. And the last thing you want to do is introduce somebody else. And for whatever short term it goes well, and if it goes sideways, now they have another loss. And it's like,
right, and like what happened to so-and-so?
Right. Yeah. And so that part, you know, I was always protective of my oldest child. When I dated, like I'm sure she recognized I dated before I dated Marcy, but she never met anybody ever. And I used to say it was like, whatever it was, it wasn't there. And I now know what it was, because I found it with Marcy. I was also needed to be in the right place as well. But so I wasn't in necessarily 100% there, but I dated before I dated my wife. And what's interesting is like, you know, I was adamant, you know, about keeping my time with my oldest daughter and not sharing it with people. It was very interesting, right? Like when all of a sudden I met Marcy, I was like, yeah, Samantha can meet her.
Yeah.
Like even not after like, yeah, I don't even think after like the second date, I was like, oh yeah, this is somebody. And very shortly, I remember telling Samantha, I'm like, you're going to hear me on the phone talking to somebody. You're going to be talking about seeing somebody, and you will probably meet her pretty soon. And so that's interesting, because now as a solo parent, again, going back to my first situation, there's no every other weekend, right? Yeah. Like, and when you talk about littles, I mean, Samantha was, I think, 10. So it's a whole different mental,
it's huge.
Right? A whole mental process there. I mean, you know, with the littles now, who, you know, mine's 3.5 right now. And it's like, you know, she lost her ever loving mind when I went to Lowe's the other day. It was like, oh, good Lord, kid. Like, and she's with someone she knows. She's with a nanny or with her grandma, and she still gets all upset. And so then you go, well, how am I supposed to go on doing? Hey, listen, the kid falls asleep at 7:30. So it's 7:45 until she has her night terror at 11:30. I am open. Like, if you want to hang out, no, you can't come in my house. Like, we just hang out in the
garage. The porch is great, or the garage,
You hang out. Well, it's cold here, jerk.
I forgot about that side of things.
Right. Well, it's a heat wave right now. But no, it's just, and then like, the other thing I've realized is, and I did it on the path of finding Marcy, was there is a subconscious intention in the way I, you know, we talk about the bad dates or whatever, but there was not a checklist, but it was interesting. Like even now, when I go back and look at our dating and et cetera, it was like, oh, it was easy because the checklist was met at every point when I reviewed, is this someone I want to be with? And what's interesting with the current situation and being a solo parent, there comes a point when you have to, and this is where, again, I have some work to be to be doing. But it's like, there comes a point where you have to open yourself up enough to be like, take the risk to be saying like, all right, I'm going to let you into this sacred place where there's a ton of hurt and a ton of pain. And you are going to have to jump into the deep end per se. And we're both going to have to learn how to swim through this at the same time, because it's not like there's a manual for how to do this necessarily. No. And everything, you know, everyone's situations is nuanced in different ways. Right. So I think that's one of the other tricky parts about dating as a, and again, I would really like to own the, or trademark the solo parent. Right. So it's totally different. You know, yeah. I can respect, you know, yes, divorce is hard and yes, it's complicated. And I've co-parented before and still am. And there's a nuance to there and there's things there, but there's also a whole different level of emotional nuance when it comes to loss of a parent and introducing a new person who could potentially be your kid's new emotional replacement for the person that has died. And that's another thing, by the way, that I said in that voice track that we'll put this out. I'm like, I'm not going to use passed away on this freaking stuff. Yeah. I hate that word. I'm like, or lost. I'm like, I didn't lose her. I mean,
hey, where'd you go? Hello.
Oh man. You know, it's, I know she's by the car keys, wherever the car keys are.
That like, you know, it's like, could Gwen please come to the front counter? Your husband has lost you. Please. He's walking around.
You know what? She's with the Pokemon cards. That's where she is. That are worth. Yeah,
or you throw in the mix of the, like, if you have the support of family,
right?
An in-law. Oh,
well,
like, hey, would you mind watching the kids so I could go out on a date?
That's a whole,
like,
right.
Wow. That doesn't happen. That's
a whole nother. Well, right. Like, I remember so again, this probably won't hit the airwaves, but I remember I think I'm going to tell mother-in-law that I think I'm seeing somebody. And I'm like, what did she think you were doing for the past 6 months? Hanging out with my friends.
Lots of friend time.
Hanging out with my friends. And I'm like, was this like, were you like 12? Like, okay, we're all going to go.
We're going to play some video games, order some pizza.
Right now, we're all going to say we're going to Timmy's house, but we're really going out to the bonfire to drink beer. But everyone needs to say we're at Timmy's house. And then Timmy will say he's at Tommy's house and we're covered because Tommy's parents are gone. It's golden. It's foolproof. No one's ever thought of this before. I think your mother-in-law may have been tipped off when you walked in smelling of Dequan and Noir or whatever that cologne was.
Like cool water.
Yeah. What is it?
Dequan, whatever. It's Dracar or something.
Dracar. That's what it is, right? Or you're walking smelling of Axe body spray. She's like, that's interesting.
You're smelling sexy. What happened here? Well, you know,
my alone time is, well, my alone time.
I like to treat myself.
Hey, every now and then I feel pretty and witty and gay, like just leave me alone. So, you know, it's, you know, the other thing I find too, with like the dating part, and you and I've talked about this before. It's like, it's almost like trying to find a needle in a needle stack, right? You're like, hey, here's my criteria. And it's like, and when you filter that out, all of a sudden you're like, oh, there's like three people to choose from. And the other one I love is where it's like, oh, my radius is 31 miles. You're 33. That's just too far. That's
too much.
And I'm like, I didn't know love had a distance. Like, isn't there a whole movie about like people falling in love and flying to Seattle and shit? Like, Jesus, like whatever happened to
Yeah. No, that romance died in the 90s.
Yeah, it's no longer.
Because, well, it's the swipe mentality. And like, and there's stuff on this one too. It's like, what if there's something just a little bit better, one more swipe away?
Well, that they talk about that in the whole, like the swipe culture. Like there's an article where it's like, that's one of the things is like, oh, it's this whole idea of like,
you're good, but
I was going to use the word dating, and I know that everyone has their own definition of what that means, but we'll just say you're dating someone and you're in a mostly monogamous relationship. But the problem in the youngers is they're like, yeah, but someone better could be just three swipes away.
Yeah.
We're back in our day.
They already have checked out.
Well, right. When back in our day, it was like, God, there might be someone better, but this guy, I got to go out. I got to go to like three, maybe four bars.
There's
got to
be a mixer involved.
And then I'm going to have to like, it's just so much work. So I'm just going to hang out with this
college campus.
Yeah. I'm just going to hang out with this chick because she was dumb enough to say yes once before. So here we are, yada, 17 years. No. Exactly. And it's true because then you run into, you know, at least in our situation, over the age of 40 with littles, and you're like, hey, have you know, if you're not a mom yet, Would you like one, or in your case, three?
Yeah.
Or if you are a mom, hey, would you like more? And normally they're like, well, I only had two for a reason, asshole.
Like, well, I kind of laid it, you know, the same, but like, we're in a predicament. So you want to juggle?
Is there any sort of like draft trade for kids? Can we like, is that like a thing? I'm not saying like give them away. I mean,
like with a salary cap and then
or something where like
later, a player to be named.
Yeah. I mean, I like my friend. Remember a friend of Amanda had this whole like, you know, Airbnb for kids. I love it. No. You can just have the kid for like the weekend.
Yeah. Just check it out and be fine.
There's got to be a couple that just wants to give it a trial run. Be like, you know, you want a 3-year-old? You're like, yeah, take mine for a Saturday and don't let her have iPad. Then you'll know.
Yeah. Yeah. Like that's the birth control for sure. I would say too, like at our age, something else I ran across, having the three, it's probably the same with you. Like one, like you run across this subset of the Insta family. And so
you just said that, and it's interesting. I don't think I was cognitive of it until this moment that a couple of dates I went on, they got that like, and again, hopefully we'll have to edit this, but like they get that glazed over look, right? Ben, of like,
yeah.
Oh my God, I'm 39. And I was thinking about how my eggs froze, but he already has one.
Yeah.
And I could just have that one. And I'm like, that's a weird look on your face right now. What's happening?
Maybe you can see the wheels turning, like, well, and unfortunately, like for life circumstances, some people couldn't for one reason or another, or they wanted another, but like it brings across this accelerated excitement, I guess is a way to put it. Like they just look at you like going like, this is a decent human being with a moral compass and three kids.
Let's not throw
it. Like it might be confused occasionally, but
I have a story about that, by the way. We'll segue into that.
Oh, nice.
Oh yeah.
But like it's, and then they get like, you have this almost sense of, I can't let this person go
right
because of these things, and I may not ever get them again, kind of thing. And it's, and it creates this additional layer of anxiety and stress, and something that should be, it's already kind of stressful enough as it is at our age, right, trying to like factor in work and jobs and kids and things. We're like having that like potential there, or at women our age too, like, or dancing with 40 going, I need to have a kid. There was actually one lady I
know. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and great woman. And she goes, I want to have a kid now. And I'm like, well, I don't. I'm like, I've got three. I'm very happy. Yeah, whole different deal. I remember when I had a brother, actually one of my best friend's younger brother, when internet dating first hit, like it first came on the market, I guess. And he was like,
would that be Match?
It might have been a Tinder or like some of the colleges had their own.
Yeah. Like forums
So like there was something like, but this one was more of a internet, like.
Oh, like more, it's truly internet based, not Match, a website. Yeah. I gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think it was Tinder. But it, like it blew my mind. I was like, I can't
by
the imagine.
Way, we're not supported by Tinder in any way.
Yeah, internet said begins with a T.
Yeah,
Where you could go and like geographically say, "Hey, I'm 5 miles away," or you go to like, "Hey, I'm going to travel to the city."
Yeah,
I'll throw my profile out there and like I'll meet random people. And I'm like, that's a thing.
Yeah,
and people get on there and it's like, that doesn't make any sense to me. Like,
I'm of the age where like I remember someone telling me that, and I was worried about being killed. Like. Like, I'm like, that doesn't seem natural. Like, I would wind up in a dumpster, wouldn't I? I mean, like, this, like,
your girls at home going, I can do what? I can just put, and they'll come to me? Well, there's no fun in it anymore.
There's something about having to chase them down a dark alleyway. No, that's
right. Yeah.
No, well, and so what's funny is, so like, I'm trying to think about, like, when I was trapped, this is obviously before I met my wife, but when I was traveling a lot, it was so funny because like my married friends were like, oh, so like every city, right? I'm like, I don't know if you know how this works, but not every female is a slut. Yeah. And if they are, you have to think about that. Like, swipe right. You want to meet right now?
No. I mean, yes. No.
I want to say no, yes, or yes, no. The other one, and I'm not making this up, met a lady in outside of St. Louis in Chesterfield.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. On a business trip. And unbeknownst to me, because I'm not from there, the bar I'm at is like the, before the weekend starts for professionals to meet and enjoy themselves before the weekend ends. And so we have a lovely time, yada, 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 go back to her place. And all of a sudden, like, it's a scene out of a movie. And I'm like, there's a man in the pictures that are around this house.
Oh,
and, yeah. And not one of my more prouder moments. And she's like, oh no, you're fine. He won't be home till like next week. And I was like, I have to go right now.
Yeah.
It's like,
oh, wow.
Super hot. But like, I was like, whoopsie. So yeah, you kind of, you're right. And what was it? I don't make up either. This is true. When I first got to Chicago and things were not going to work out between Jessica, Samantha's mom, and I, mm-hmm. I went a bit because I was from California, and I'd walk in and people like, you're not from here. And I'm like, do I have a sign? And it's just, I don't know, the casualness, how I dressed.
Yeah.
And so women would pick up on that. And they're like, oh, you're not from the Midwest. And what's funny is, so like, I started to, like, when I'd go home with somebody to their place, because I learned this lesson the hard way, because I lost my wallet at someone's house who I did not get their phone number. I did not get their last name, and I had no idea how I was supposed to contact them. Graciously, my ID was in there and I dropped my wallet off. But what I learned from that was, anytime I went over to someone's house to hook up, my wallet and my cell phone went in my shoes, because I figured even if something bad, like in St. Louis, happened, I can get really far naked in shoes with my wallet and my cell phone. My married friends are like, you've thought of this? You haven't? Like,
how would you get around?
It's kind of like it's kind of like the joke with the bear in the woods, right? Like, you stop and you're putting on running shoes and your friend's like, what are you doing? You can't outrun a bear. I don't have to outrun a bear. I just have to outrun you. Like, I don't have to. I can run through the streets buck ass naked and get home. Like, it's all right. Like, I have no shame at that point.
We're
like,
stringing to the quad.
That's right. We're all going stringing to the quad. Everyone's doing it. I was like, at that point, I think I realized I might need to get a handle on my life. There might be some poor choices being made here.
And that's the thing, like, and to bring it back to, like,
bring it back around, yeah.
You can't do that anymore. Like, that ability to just wantonly date and just go on adventures and do it, like, you can't do that anymore. Like, it's
again going back to living tricky. Life with an intention and
is that be correct? Like, right. Like, if, like, because I have family members that have had some revolving doors and some other things, and you have kids, and you're like, you don't, like, well, I don't want this, like, I don't want my kids to see, like, well, who was this lady here? Whatever. Like, oh, she doesn't matter. Like, oh.
The other thing that I find about dating too is, like, you know, on a more, like, you know, kind of bringing it all the way back to the serious thing, is like, I'm curious to find out how the circles of family and friends work, right? I obviously hope your family supports you regardless if it's a healthy and good decision. And then you go to the extended family of your spouses, of in-laws. And again, you hope they support you, but it's a complex dynamic, especially when you're talking about littles, and that's their connection back to their child that they have lost, or the brother or their sister. Damn it, died. And so then you have that to manage, again, with some intention, and there's boundaries involved, and everyone has to figure it out. And you're not trying to be hurtful or spiteful, but you kind of have to figure that out. And then lastly, in any particular order, but then also, like, the friends, right? Like, again, the child is the connection to this, you know, let's just say your spouse had lifelong friends, and that person is died and the child is their connection to them. And you're going like, well, you're not replacing, but I think it's just, how do you meld all that? And also, like, for me, it's like, well, if one of those circles fails, do I care? Because mine and my child's happiness is more important than a circle. Like, you know, that's the other thing that it's like, I wouldn't destroy, you know, whatever, the friend circle. But at the same time, you're like, I can't make my decisions based on your happiness.
It's been different from day one. In all honesty.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, like, so she was the one that was like, I don't think so. And then, so, like, right? Yeah, right? So,
yeah. But like, so.
That was probably the right call though at the time.
Well, yeah, no, it totally was. And that's kind of like leads into the rest of it is like, she came into it even before being set up going, okay, he's a widower. That's new for me. I'm not familiar with that.
Right.
What does that bring with it? Okay. So then she went to my buddy Bob, who's like kind of initiated the connection. He's like, how long was he married? Well, he was married for 17 years. Okay. So then she went to her friend, who's like, okay, there's this potential of meeting this guy. He's a widower, was married for a long time. What do you think? And she's like, well, based off
his picture.
based off how long he was married, he needs 5 years. He's not married today for 5 years.
That, you know, what's funny? I used to roll that formula all the time, which was you need to be sync. Well, you need to be processing the breakup for half as long as you dated the person. Like, yeah. And I think that for the most part, that rings true with this one exception with loss, which to get the person out of your system doesn't mean you can't be dating. It doesn't mean you can't be in another relationship, but like, and I've yet to have anybody prove to me it's not true, which is like, if the person, which in our situation, they can't, but if your ex walked into a bar and you date them for 3 years and they walked in the first year, you'd be like, right. You'd have some reaction.
Yeah.
You're in a half in, you'd unless, be like, yeah, whatever. Like, you know what I mean? I think there's, I don't know about a third. I mean, 17, 5 years. I mean, come on. That's fucking unrealistic. Listen, yeah. I kind of feel like that's where I'm going to be at. I'm going to be like trying to date when I'm 50, when I move to Denver. Anyway.
Yeah. And if we do though, we'll make it happen. And
what I'd love to do is have a long distance relationship for the next 5 years. That'd work out great. What would that do for my forearms? I don't know if that really helped me or not. Anyway,
just Popeye the heck out of it.
You're so fucked up right now. It hurts so bad. Anyway, not from that, but I mean, maybe
the calluses are so bad. So she went into, and then she watched, and this is a whole nother thing, but she watched an episode of The Unicorn.
Yeah.
That TV show on CBS.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, I don't want to be the first girl he dates, because she saw the fact that he was a year out, had two kids, saw the drama that went with it, that someone at CBS said, you know what would be funny is the idea of a widower getting back into the dating world. And like, on paper, yes. Like, but like when you like tie emotional to it, like that's not funny. That's real life. It's painful. It's horrible, but it is awkward. It's bizarre. And like, as an outsider looking in, I can see the comedy. I didn't appreciate it initially. Like, and I went back and forth for a long time going, am I going to watch this? Am I not going to watch this? Am I going to watch this or not? Like, and eventually I broke down and did, but that whole different story. But anyway, so she watched it, talked to her friend. She's like, oh, friend zone. Boop. Immediately just walked in going, I'm not going to be able to do any sort of, there's not going to be dating here. He's got too much going on. He's not going to be emotionally available. Kind of like the stuff we talked about earlier. It's not going to be the right time yet, but he seems, based off his friend's selling points, like somebody that I could hang out with.
Right.
And so we did, we hung out several times. We went like skiing and snowboarding together. We did Colorado things.
Yeah.
And we had a blast. And then and it, like there was, I don't know, multiple times we did this. And then finally at one point we're just like, yeah, the friend thing's not going to work. Like, cause there was like that
sub level.
A great solid sitcom. When are these two eventually going to hook up kind of tensions?
Yeah.
And it was kind of, we actually had it like, and that's one of the things, like it was a very purposeful conversation going, I did this initially because I don't want to open this door unless you're down for X, Y, and Z.
Right.
And so And that's kind of been like the whole relationship has gone, is then this preemptive, hey, this might be a situation, we need to address this. You have loss. How does that affect you? Right. You have loss. How does that, you have grief. How does that affect you? You have grief. How does that affect your kids? How does the grief that affects your kids going to affect me potentially walking in?
Right.
What questions am I going to get? Is your oldest daughter going to go, are you going to be my new mommy right out of the gate? Like, what can I expect to hear? What can I expect to see? Because, you know, I based off the fact that there's, like you said, this, you know, emotional, physical, spiritual connection, there's multiple things going on. Like, I don't see this potentially ending unless something weird happens or I run across a behavior or something that I don't appreciate. But like stuff, what I'm seeing now, it's looking good.
Yeah.
So
you just get a shock collar. You can fix a lot of bad. Oh, sorry. Never mind.
No, that's what the crate's for. Like, you just put them in the room and, but like, it's the
don't fact. You know, eating my pirate booty.
So you know, like the Butterfinger, don't touch it. It's been interesting. Unlike the other women I've dated, she's had the forethought and intention of going.
Yeah.
Gwen was there. She was real. It's different. Mm. How does that play in? And what does that mean for me?
Yeah.
And what does that mean for Gwen, me and the kids potentially down the road? Mm-hmm. And she also has a daughter.
Right.
And she's like, how does,
right.
Yeah. Well, okay. And how does that play into her potentially getting attached? So there's like, there's all these sub levels kicking in, but the thing that's been kind of the overlying theme is the attention to emotions and availability and the forethought of, this is a real scenario. What does it mean? And like, how can we do this the right way versus jumping into it and going, oh, we're doing this relationship. It's cool. Let's throw some kids in the mix. Let's go to the park. We'll hang. And like, then we'll see where it goes from there.
Your kids
or
someone else's kids? No, no, right. Your like, kids.
And like, it'll be party. We'll do some sleepovers. It'll be great. Like, and then you wake up and you're like, oh, you have this grief influence and like emotional, like and the kids wondering, how does this play into it? And then there's pictures of this, you know, like their mom are like, and like, and what's really striked me consistently throughout the relationship is how she's been very attuned to her feelings, my feelings, the kids' feelings, and how Gwen plays into it. And it's just not something that's been there with any of the other ones.
Yeah. Which is what, you know, what's interesting is like the fact that she has the forethought. Like, I think you and I've also talked about like, right. And no one has ever asked to meet Marcy.
Yeah.
Right. And not that I expect that in like date two, but like with 8 day Kate, I was like, you should want to know about Marcy. You should interview me about, like, tell me about her. Right. Mm-hmm. Beyond the Reader's Digest version of like, we met online, we got married, we had a baby, she died of cancer. Like, and she was, she had a, you know, master's and she was about ready to become the CFO of a company. Like other than all the stats of Marcy's online dating profile, like, right. Like, or her obituary really, like, there was no like, what attracted you to her? What, you know, like, and I know that's gotta be super awkward, but at the same time, like I think with, there's this girl that basically, like, I don't know, 2 months prior to her wedding, her fiance was like, I can't do this. And like walked out. I'm like, oof. And so I was like, and this is where it gets into like the mind, body, spirit thing where I'm like, okay, so why were you dating him? Why are you engaged to him? And she was like, well, you know, he just, you know, I'd had some not great, and he was really nice. But, and then like, this is the things that bother me is like, you know, she, and I think we'd got this girl and I, we'd probably went on Notice I said girl, not lady or woman. Maybe four dates, maybe. Okay. It was before I left Elmhurst. And I was like, well, but so like you were with the guy for like a fucking while, like 6 years or something.
Oh,
yeah. Wow. And she's not, I mean, she's 39 now. Right. So it's not like she met him when she was 20. And so I was like, and he's like older than me. Like he's almost 50. And I was like, but so what was the deal? Yeah. She goes, well, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, he was nice and blah. And I was like, and then it was like, well, you know, he may have had a small like gambling problem for a while. And I was like, and you stayed with him and you were married and you're in your 30s. Like,
and you know yourself and you know what's going on and what's important.
You should, right? Yeah. And it's like there are behaviors that aren't tolerated, right? And it's not like you've been married to the guy and you're, you know, all of a sudden he has like an addiction or something and like you got to deal with it as a couple. That's different.
Yeah.
This is like you're still kind of in the late dating phase or whatever. But I was just like, and so it's interesting, like, you know, those are the sort of things where I think by the second sit down date, I now have to be honest with myself. And this is one of the things Eric and I were talking about was like, you know, like I think you and I was like, or maybe I mentioned like, you know, whatever, keeping someone's phone number in the phone, right? Because on a Friday night, I'm bored and lonely. And it's like, what are you doing? Nothing. Hey, Ben. Good. Okay. I'm like, fucking idiot.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, I'm like, what are you doing?
How are you doing that? Yeah.
Well, because I'm lonely and I'm bored. Yeah. And Ben can't talk all the time. And my West Coast friends have lives, apparently. And so it's like, oh. And then like the repercussions of that is like, oh, well, I don't like the way that makes me feel when I do that. And I'm again reaching down, right? Like it's not the level I want to be at for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. And I think it's also this way of I didn't tell you. Did I tell you crazy nanny lady text me?
No.
Again? The prayer lady?
Yeah, yeah. No, you didn't tell me.
So, before Valentine? Yeah, like early February.
Okay.
I'm trying to get like my, it was like early February, like a month ago. I get this text and I'm like, it's local, but I don't know who it is. And it's like, been thinking about you, hope you and your family are well, praying for you or something. And I was like, oh, well, how are you? And it was like, oh, you know, things are pretty good, you know, blah, 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 doing this. Still something like becoming your nanny would have been great or something. I don't know. And I was like, oh, so this is someone. And I was like,
oh.
So I apparently didn't block her phone number. And I was like, oh. And so like, I was like, oh, well, and I'm not kidding you. Like she sent me like nothing like super naughty or anything. She sent me a bunch of like pictures all of a sudden. And I was like, oh yeah, you're still. And so then I was like, you know what? Let me try to make this a learning experience for myself. So I go, can I ask you something just frankly, like just like what's the worst that happens, right? And I was like, when I opened the door, what happened? And she goes, I don't need to tell you. I can show you. And I was like, all right. What? She's like, 1 second. Yeah. Yeah. She sends me a screenshot. I'm not making this up. I think I deleted it. My contact was Matt, right? Matt, right? At the top. And then she must have an Android because it's different than I've seen. But underneath it was like too hot to be alone in the room with. Oh. And I was like, okay, so like, right. Because this was like, when I opened the door, I was like, oh shit. I would like, you can't be my nanny for 69 different reasons. Right. I was like, this is not good. Now, 26-year-old Matt would have been like, sure, let's roll the dice. What's going to happen? Moral compass, no Matt. But like, it was interesting. And so, and then we did have a bit because she's a little wackadoo with the spiritual stuff. But I was like, so like, do you think it's a like we press life thing or different? She goes, no, I think there's definitely, she was like, there's definitely something there. Right. Like there's just, and we go to body. Right. And it's like, oh my. And she's not even like my type necessarily. I mean, she's super, like, yeah, she I remember the picture, like she was smoking hot.
Yeah.
But all the cray cray that comes with it. So it's probably not 100% mine spiritually, way too out on the wackadoo list, but it was funny. Like it was random. And so I was like, all right, well, and then I asked her, I was like, well, you said some stuff about like my spiritual colors or some shit. Right. And I was like, can you just replay that to me? And then she told me, my mom was here at the time too, when she was here for the interview, and she did like my mom's thing too. And I was like, those are pretty spot on. And she was like, you know, she goes, you're just, she's like, you are one of the most kind spirits and humans I've ever met in my life. And she's like, I just think you're a really, really good person. Yada, yada. I was like, I appreciate that. And I was like, I just think that us spending any time together would be super unhealthy. Like I just, and she was like, I kind of agree. I said, I just don't think it would. I mean, she's got fucking four kids by two different dudes. Like, it's just not. But I was like, what the shit? Right? Like, why? But this was kind of a little bit of a litmus test of like, okay, there's definitely like, I'll be honest. I was like, oh, the naughty things I would do to you. Right. Yeah. With no respect at all. Around Valentine's Day, about 2 weeks later, I think you pointed out, or maybe one of my other friends, it was like, you don't think it has anything to do with Valentine's? I was like, motherfucker. What are you doing this weekend? I'm like, Valentine's wasn't on my radar. I'm like, I got candies for the kids. I wasn't thinking, you know, naughty time.
Cupid's arrow circle was flying.
What was that?
Cupid's arrows were flying that
something.
Weekend.
Well, yeah. But then that goes back to like, so like, the two that reached out for kind of like, what are you doing on Valentine's Day weekend? Or what are you doing next weekend? Really? Whatever. And both of them are like this, like, I got to find a different word. Shallow.
Okay.
Like there's no depth to them as people, right? One is the one that was like, you know, the guy walked down, and another one is like just recently left the city and like is stuck in this like weird, like going back to exes and doesn't really know herself. And it's like, I don't want to be successful. I want to be happy. And I'm like, no, you don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. Like you can still be successful and happy. Yeah. But so it's just, and it's funny because like up until again, recently and prior to them, I'll pick a random time, January, I would have been like, oh, sure, let's hang out. And I'm like, wait a minute. I want way more.
Yeah.
And when way more shows up, I'll risk it.
Yep.
But it's not. And I'm really concerned that it doesn't exist in Indiana. Like my dating circle, I don't think it's in Indiana.
I really feel for you with that one. I do constantly. Like that circle is replaying in my head all the time.
I want to lie and say I live in the city, but with the pandemic, I don't think that many people are there anymore anyway.
No. Yeah. I think it's a different vibe by the city too.
Well, and what I love about what you said about Steph is that like, those are the sort of things that whether you notice them or whether you're thinking about it or not, those are the sort of things where I'm like, oh, if that shows up in whatever form, uh-huh, then I'm willing to risk it. Right. Like, and I have 8 Day Kate, I think, tipped all three only because none had been touched in a year plus. Right. So I was like, ooh, like she's smart and we have conversations, but then it was like some of the vapidness and some of the, just like you could tell her, God bless her. Like her ex-husband was just a piece of work. Right. And just did a subvertly number on her over the 10 years they were married. Right. But it was so interesting to listen to her talk about her wedding, right? Where it was like, it was not the happiest day of her life. It was a whole mess. Her dad wasn't really sure they should be going through with it. And I was like, yeah. Right. And it's just like, and again, divorce is different than loss, but I'm like, even my friends that have been divorced are like, oh, my first wedding was fun. I enjoyed it. It was a happy day. Like, hopefully you don't go into the wedding going like, well, this is a fucking mistake. Like,
that's the wrong vibe for a wedding.
Right. Not what I'm looking for. Well, the funny thing is like there was four people at their wedding. That should tell you something, right?
Four?
Yeah. They like flew out to Arizona.
Not at the wedding, just like four total. Like,
yeah. Period. Like mom, dad, sister, a couple of friends. Like it was less than 10 people because they flew out to Arizona and got married in Red Rock Country because they just thought it was time to get married.
Wow.
And she was kind of hanging her hat on like, well, I don't want a big wedding and I don't want to do that whole thing. And I'm like, that's weird. And the other, like post-analysis, the other weird thing I've also realized, as much as I hate, much as I find the struggle with when you find a female that has a large group, or not just say large, a group of solid women friends, it makes it complicated and it makes it interesting. They can't not have friends. That's the other one that was a huge red flag.
Oh, they have to have
friends. Right. Kate had worked at the same fucking PR firm for like 9 years. No friends.
Yeah.
Zero friends.
I have to like, not like, so yeah.
Like I want a Sex in the City group. And yeah, I don't mean like, sex in the city group. I want a like sex in the
like,
city group.
Super right. tight. Like, yeah. That wasn't like, I like both Steph and I went through each other's gauntlet of friends. It was just
super important. Like, yeah. Marcy did. Like, the problem was Marcy had to go out to California for mine. Right.
But still, which like, is fine. You, like you had your group of friends in California, like took Marcy there and it was there. And, like,
and it was a resounding same answer. They're like,
yeah.
Why? No, they were like, why? They pull her aside. Why are you with him?
Are you okay? He's drugged. Just cauliflower. Say cauliflower if you need the cauliflower cuffs.
Yeah. If you've been kidnapped, just cauliflower. Say cauliflower. We'll get you a
yeah. No, and like,
and I kept her drunk for a long time, to be honest. That's the only way I got her to the wedding.
Does this smell like chloroform? Like, what is this?
I need to remember, you know what I need to absolutely memorize is the line, is the thing that they poison with in Princess's Bride, the odorless, tasteless poison drug. When he smells it, he goes, it's obviously the Canifer leaf from the western side of Madagascar. And you're like, but it's odorless, so how would you?
Yeah, I'm a trim myself. Yeah, no, and to see how tight her relationships was with her friends, because like
right now, real quick, is there is a measure of the friends they keep.
Yeah. Oh yeah. 100%.
Family's important too, but you can't choose your family. You can't choose your friends. Like if your family's all white trash, fine, whatever. They're all white trash.
Yeah.
But if your friends are amalgamation of different things, or they're helping you be better, or you're the best and they're all trying to be like you or whatever, I'm just thinking about that right now. Like maybe that should be the dating app. Like, hey, can I go on date with like a group of your friends first? And then I'll decide if I want to meet you. Hey, Bumble, most quickest billionaire, or whatever lady, like, why don't you put that in the Bumble app?
Like I'm not here for, what is it? Not the dating option. It's the work.
The friends, the work, or the friends or work connection. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, they're like, no, I need to hook up with my potential dating friend groups. Yeah. You could see how her friends cared about her and how, like, I got grilled by both of them. And then, like both groups, like she has she's got East Coast friends and Colorado friends because she's from the East Coast. And so like, and somewhere out here. So I got a chance to meet some of both
groups. Oh, that's good.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was exciting and fun to kind of have those friends and see how they were like protective of her.
So the friends, did they have you drawn up like Lethal Weapon with like Hondo hit him again? Yes. Hit him again, Hondo. You're like, I found the car battery actually quite relieving. It's when they went straight to the testicles. I knew we'd gotten serious.
Exactly. Like, because it was next level. The nipples, B grade. You know,
that was a little turn on.
But when you went for the testicles, like,
when the clamps on the testicles, I knew we'd reach another level.
Okay, like, this is serious.
I think we might be boyfriend girlfriend right now. And I'm sterile.
Exactly. That was so much cheaper than the other option and kind of more enjoyable.
Slightly erotic. Oh, that one may hit the airways. Anyway, no, but so how they cared for her and
And then like, and then how she showed up for my friends. Cause I wanted like, that was, and much like, how to like, when a traumatic event hits your life, it gives you a chance to do massive self-assessment. And there was things that changed and were made apparent to me that were important. And certain things that were made important to me was making sure that my circle of friends were included.
Yeah.
And I wanted to make sure that was part, because they're a intricate part of my world. Like they are there constantly, like, and it is a very important, like, so, and anyone who I date, have a relationship with, like, they need to be able to mesh with my friends, otherwise it's not going to happen,
right?
It's just a thing. And so the fact that she showed up, clicked with my friends, and was able to show up and just do it and be herself and make and like and flourish with my friends was like, that's very cool. So Yeah. And there's definitely some of the other ones that I would either say, I don't want my friends to see or meet, or like, it was just like, it was like, not that I was ashamed, but like, no, this is not a thing. It's all right. Yeah. But it's just not a thing. But like this one was, it had a different vibe from day one.
Well, so like, what's funny is, so like, again, just recently watching the wedding video, that's the one they posted on Facebook. There's the documentary style, the interview one, but there's a trailer. But one of my buddies, and this is a true story, Marcy and I have been talking for about a month, and we finally got scheduled to coordinate for going to dinner on October 6th. And I remember at the time I knew my wardrobe was not at the point where it needed to be to be dating in the city. It kind of worked for Indiana. It might work for like, you know, Sunday fun day, but it didn't. Right. So I literally got him and his wife on the phone and was like, dude, is this okay? Does this? And she's like, my friend's wife was like, no, you need to get something else right away. And so I found some stuff and I'd send pictures of the outfit and they were like, yeah, that's better. Because in the first time in a long time, not only did I want to impress, but I wanted to fit in, right? Like before it was like, hey, it's just like, it sounds such like a douchebag, but it's like, they were like, oh, let me be in your world. I'm like, no, it should. And again, this is for me. Other people, that may be what they need, but that's not what I need. Like, in the way I glaze over it is, as I said earlier, like, I can't be the better one in this thing. I just can't. I need more. I need somebody, not saying better, like, you know what I mean? But it's just interesting where I'm like, I need someone who I look at and go like
drives and motivates.
And I just look at him, I go like, God, if I could just be a little bit more like you, I'd be a better person. You know what I mean? Not holistically all across the board, but it's like, God, you know, and Marcy definitely brought that. I was like, yeah, if I could just be slightly more like you in certain areas, I would be a much better human, right? Sure. Which some of those I've taken and run with for sure. And some of them I'm like, I'm not doing lists. Fuck that shit.
But it's so much fun to scratch it off. Just
I'm not wired that way at all. I'm like, fucking lists are crazy. But so it's interesting, right? And what I find also fascinating is it would be interesting to see in the divorce world if that's a screening. Because the problem is in the divorce world, both people are still around. And I joke with my friends when they've gotten divorced. I'm like, listen, someone needs to go to the court and ask them who gets the friend, because I'm both of your friends and this is bullshit. I didn't do anything wrong.
Right. Yeah, because I've seen
like, why would you, if you get divorced, why would you use, why would you use friends as screening tools? Because someone's an asshole and someone's a bitch. That's the way it always, very, in the rarest of rare times does it ever go like, it was amicable. And I love when people say, I'm like, no, it wasn't. Never is.
No.